Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Bob Griswold, and I'm glad you could join us.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
We're going to start off with a little bit about the war that is still going on in the Middle East. And I just want to talk a little bit about the culture that's involved. A few days ago on Twitter, Brigitte Gabriel, whose family was living in Lebanon before Hezbollah took it over, when it was a beautiful, peaceful country, and they were there during the war. And her mother was injured and needed to go to a hospital. And she got a ride. She took her mother, got an ambulance ride to the hospital, got to the Israeli border, and the ambulance driver, who was a friend, said, "How much money do you have?" And she said, "I have $60," and he took $30. At the border, an Israeli IDF volunteer took her to an Israeli hospital. When she got there, she knew she didn't have enough money to pay him, but she said, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Nothing." And she got to the hospital, and they took care of her mother and made sure everything was okay. That's one of the differences between the Arab culture and the Israeli culture. A friend was willing to take advantage of her in a difficult situation. The Israelis just wanted to help. Now, we've seen this. The attack on October 7th, which everyone who's screaming for a ceasefire seems to have forgotten about, was an attack on civilians. It was not an attack on a military target. And now that the IDF is in Hamas trying to rescue hostages, get rid of Hamas and get the civilians out of there, people are calling for a pause. Well, there were photographs on the internet yesterday of the IDF escorting civilians out of Hamas, because there have been stories that when the civilians tried to leave, Hamas was shooting at them. These civilians had tanks, Israeli tanks, on all sides of them. So if anybody had decided to shoot, they would have had a rude awakening. And I think when we hear the calls for a ceasefire or a two-state solution, we need to understand that up until October 7th, there was a treaty in place. Also, Gaza was acting as an independent state. Israel had pulled out of there in 2005. The news is obviously not reporting this honestly.
I don't think they want to report it honestly. I mean, as we had seen back many, many years ago, when Israel did back out of Gaza and there had been, I guess, hot houses and mm-hmm. water supplies and all that stuff, all of that stuff was destroyed after Israel had pulled out of
there. Yeah, they ripped up the water pipes and used them to make rockets.
Well, I think it's important to realize that what we're seeing with the conflict between the Muslims and the Jews in Israel, or the Israeli, the state of Israel, is really based on their religious beliefs that are stated in the Quran. It's clearly stated there that if you are a Muslim and a believer, then you should not befriend Christians or Jews. And there's a statement they talk about what they should actually do, and they're quite descriptive. Just take a second to read this. And when the forbidden months have passed, this is what they're telling their believers: kill the idolaters, in other words, the Jews and Christians, wherever you find them, and take them prisoners, and beleaguer them, beleaguer meaning torture, and lie in wait for them at every place of ambush. So that's direct permission to do exactly what they're doing.
Alan, that's called the verse of the sword, and it's the last part of the Quran. And the way the Quran is construed is that whichever is the last is the one that's
supersedes everything else.
Supersedes the other. So the verse of the sword. So when Muhammad was weak politically and militarily at the beginning of the Quran, he said, "Get along with the Jews." Then when he became strong, now, at the end, it's beleaguer them always.
And we have to believe that they mean exactly what they're doing. Because if you look historically at some of the issues where the Muslims have taken over parts of the Mediterranean and in fact parts of India, there were millions of casualties. There were estimated 80 million Hindus killed by Muslims when they infiltrated India. So this is not just a recent phenomenon, and it's not something just attributable to a few minority people of that are Muslims. It appears to be inherent in their, like you said, their culture and their religious belief. And that is going to be very difficult to combat.
Well, it's impossible to combat.
This makes me fearful for the recognition of the Muslims that we have in our own government. Just recently, the censure of Rashida Tlaib and the statements that she has made and the fact that there are Republicans, including North Carolina's own Edwards, who refused to sign on the censure. If we have Muslims with that kind of belief inside our own government, that is infiltration, and that should not be allowed.
If you go back to the early 2000s, I don't remember exactly what year it was. It was after 9/11, and we were at a fairly high security alert. There were a man and a woman driving across the bridge. That I don't know what the name of it is. It's over the Chesapeake Bay, and it lands in Annapolis. And a Maryland trooper happened to notice the woman had a hijab on, that they were taking pictures. Well, that's a beautiful bridge. The scenery is absolutely gorgeous. But he noticed that she was taking pictures of the structure, not of the scenery. So they pulled them over on the other side of the bridge, and they found out there was some kind of a warrant out for the man. And they used that as a justification to search their house. And it was a typical Washington suburban house till they found a basement, underneath the basement, where all the records of the Muslim Brotherhood in America were kept. And included in those records was the copy of how to take over America using America's legal system. Organizations like CARE and the Islamic Association of North America. This all came to light in something called the Holy Land Foundation trial, which was held in Texas. Now, the unindicted co-conspirators that were listed in this trial were never brought to trial because, unfortunately, the Bush administration intervened. I don't know why. And but all of this talks about infiltrating our legal systems, our political systems, using our freedoms against us. You can still find that if you go looking on the internet for the Holy Land Foundation trial and you look for the documents related, you will eventually come across that entire pamphlet, if you want to call it that. Now, the first part of it's in Arabic, so we don't read that, but the second part is in English. And you can read all the linked organizations, all the meetings, and everything that went on. We are not safe. We are a target. First Israel, then America. We are the great Satan. Israel is the little Satan. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that we are a target, and the grace of God is the only thing that has kept us safe so far, and we seem to be poking our nose at that, our finger in his eye on that one.
You know, another oddity is the state of, Alan, you mentioned Pakistan has only been a state since 1947, and that was because it had been part of India, and the great infiltration of the Muslim effect, that they had to separate it to a different state.
And, this whole issue about what's going on at the border now is so threatening and so dangerous because we're just letting people over the border. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their motives are. The whole idea that America is a melting pot and it doesn't matter how many or what diverse cultures come in, everybody will turn to support American values, that is an absurd notion. It's not happening. You see more and more division. And, you know, the only way to confront this, in my opinion, is to do what ex-President Trump has indicated. If he gets elected, he wants to deport all these people that are here illegal, and that's what needs to happen.
I agree.
The Eisenhower did some of that when he was in power, and I don't care what it costs or what the effort is, they're here illegally, they should be deported.
Multiculturalism is a PAC term. We began to hear about that decades ago. So now the current style is we don't have a melting pot, we have a stew. So in a stew, you have chunks of potatoes mm-hmm. and you've got peas and whatnot. And they're
sometimes
all,
they don't work together.
And they're all, you know, their own entities. They just happen to be in the same place. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the...
Well, they're more in the same place than we would really want to admit, because apparently the Biden administration has now declared to the banks that you need to give these newly... new people, you need to give them loans, you need to give them everything. Well, they don't have a Social Security number, they don't have a green card, they can't earn money. They've got no way of, I'm going to give them a credit card and I have no way of finding them or getting them to repay it.
Well, this isn't the beginning of illegals getting home loans. That's been happening for a long time.
Well, if we want to find them, we should just give their names to FedEx.
or give them the home warranty phone number or whatever else. So you get the call every...
When I was living in Tucumcari, New Mexico, there was a couple there. She was Hispanic, and he was a Mexican national who had come across the border. And they were so hardworking, they bought a house with credit cards.
Wow.
Their credit rating was astronomical, and they actually bought a house, charged it on credit cards.
Wow.
On that, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back to the CCTA Wake Up Call. Pat?
Well, this comment harks back to Mary's how Palestinians treat civilians, the difference between how they do it and how the Israelis do it. And you have to understand that their religion, their religious book, the Quran, is what sets their view of the world and how they treat people. And in the Quran, there's three categories of people. There's Muslims, there's people who are who have submitted to Islam and are willing to pay the jiz or the tax, and then there's infidels. And the infidels are the children of the book, Jews and Christians. So if you're willing to submit, they charge you a tax, and then you can be like an indentured servant. Otherwise, they kill you. That informs a huge difference between how Israel would treat civilians, because they have reverence for life.
Well, the sad thing about that is that the Muslim children are taught this from the time they're born. And I've posted pictures more than once on Right Wing Granny of a kindergarten class in the Gaza Strip graduating in military gear with rifles, training to be martyrs.
Well, this is out and beyond that. I mean, that's ideology. I'm talking about religion.
Mm-hmm. But it feeds into it.
Well, of course, because their ideology of Hamas, let's kill Israel, death to America, is spawned from their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to separate the two. And our State Department saying there should be a two-state solution. When Trump was president, he said, we're never going to make any progress. Mm-hmm. If we leave the Palestinians in it. He quit paying the foreign aid to the Palestinians, and he came up with the Abraham Accords. And in my opinion, he should have received the Nobel Prize for that.
Yes.
And the other Arab nations were willing to come to the table. The minute Biden got back in office, here comes the foreign aid to the Palestinians, and look what we have as a result.
And that's in violation of the Taylor Force Act, because the Palestinians pay the families of their martyrs. And Congress passed a law a number of years ago called the Taylor Force Act. Taylor Force was an American soldier who was killed in a terror attack in Israel, and it was named after him. And the Biden administration is just ignoring that totally. They don't think it's important.
There was a connection with the Boston bombers.
Yes.
With what Pat was referring to, these brothers were living off of food stamps and welfare, mm-hmm. and collecting money, and they were looking at that as that was the tax that they were receiving, mm-hmm. The punishment from the infidels. So to think that it's not a deep-seated problem in our country is absurd.
There are Iran says to take alms,
right
from right. from the. Transgressors.
And we're stupid enough to do it.
Well, there are two mosques that I'm aware of in the Boston area that I would describe as radical mosques. And what went on in the mosque that's in Boston in getting that there in terms of the land and the financial dealings and everything else was questionable at best. And we need to understand that everyone who lives in America right now does not wish good for our country.
And lying to the infidel is allowed if it makes their agenda move forward.
That's called taqiyya. Yes, that is a principle of Islam. I want to go back just a minute to the border, because I think it's very interesting. The Biden administration has decided it's going to build a small part of the border wall. Well, they're building it in a place called Starr County. And evidently, this is just conjecture, of course. There was a lawsuit filed by the General Land Office questioning why they had not built the wall in Starr County. filed against the government. So all of a sudden, the wall is being built in Starr County.
Who's the general law, land office?
I don't know.
Is that a government entity?
I would suspect it's a Texas entity. I don't know.
It would be a state entity.
What's interesting is at the same time they're talking about building part of the wall, they're selling the supplies to build the wall off at a government surplus site, which makes no sense at all.
Well, the wall makes sense because then they have to buy them back at a premium because they're not available right away.
Mm-hmm.
From the people they just sold them to.
Yeah. Somebody makes money.
Oh, that makes my head hurt.
Did you know some parts of the fence are actually welded open?
Yes.
What?
And the lawsuit that Texas filed because the government was cutting the barbed wire, Texas won.
Well, it's not over. They got an injunction.
Yeah, so that for the moment, the government is not allowed to cut the barbed wire at our border.
It still amazes me that with all of this illegal trespass into our country, if you look at it reverse, if you are an American and you want to go to Mexico, you go straight to jail. But yet they come to our country, and not only do we welcome them with open arms, we're not allowed to send them home. We have to feed them, we have to clothe them, we have to educate them. It makes zero sense, and I have yet to understand from a government official why.
I think you have to understand what's behind it. Is you have to step back and say, what do the Democrats believe they're going to get from open borders?
Future voters.
Voters, and they want to undermine our nationality. You have to remember, when Barack Obama, who is behind a lot of these things that are happening with the Biden administration, I believe that, and he came out, he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States. He wanted to take the United States down as we've known it. And the way you do that is you bring in all these diverse people who undermine, have their own strategies and goals, and you basically destroy. And that's their mission. So the idea to be frustrated with the fact that Biden administration is not doing anything to stop it, this is their agenda. This is what they wanted right from the beginning.
But then why are we protecting other countries' borders?
Well, because they don't want to protect ours. I mean, they don't want to stop it. They want to keep it going.
The only way
it's going to stop is with a new president.
There's another part of this. There are two other parts of this, Alan. First of all, as much as I like blaming the Democrats, because it's fun, the Republicans are as guilty, some Republicans are as guilty of this as the Democrats. The Democrats want voters. There is a class of country club Republicans that wants cheap labor for their corporate types.
Chamber of Commerce.
If either party wanted this done, it would have been done by now. So the guilt falls on both sides.
Well, that's what you're saying is correct. There are certain business people who see cheap labor as an advantageous thing for them. However, we have to do is go back a couple of years, and the Trump administration was closing that border. So to say that the Republicans are equally guilty with the Democrats, I don't think that's correct. There are some Republicans that are problematic. I agree with you 100% with that. But we had a Republican administration that was curtailing it, was building a wall. Now you have a Democrat administration. It's like night and day.
Trump got fought every step of the way.
But an argument for that as well is we do have accommodations within our immigration system for the transient worker. So for the farm workers and for the seafood workers, there is a legal mechanism to get the labor force here.
And that could be strengthened. You could have, like Switzerland has a visitor worker program, and they bring a certain number of workers every year, but they make sure at the end of that work period they exit. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to have that, if we need that labor, they got to come in, and then they got to go back.
And the other part of that, what are we doing with that open border in terms of drugs and child trafficking?
What disease.
What have we done? And
disease. We're bringing
Yeah, nobody's
back.
Checking these people for COVID vaccines. Or tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
I think New York has recently had a tuberculosis outbreak.
Well, if you needed any evidence that China is trying to destroy our country, well, you have to look at their role in what's going on at the border, especially with fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
The chemicals for that are sent to Mexico to the cartels. They produce it, and they make sure it gets into this country. We know it. China knows that we know they're doing it. What are we doing about it? Nothing. We could take economic action if we wanted to stop it. It needs to be done. Same thing like TikTok. This is another aberration. We have this TikTok platform that's basically run by the Chinese Communist Party. And we're allowing, and I read the other day, it was like 60% of all the children between the age of 11 and 21 in the United States are on TikTok every day. So it's a great influence. And they came out, TikTok came out with this strong anti-Semitism issue the other day. So TikTok should be banned in the United States, period. There's only one state that's moving that direction, is Montana.
It's also interesting that what American children see on TikTok is very different than what Chinese children see on TikTok. Chinese children see science experiments and museum visits and things like that. American kids see cat videos and silly things.
Well,
are not necessarily educationally helpful.
They estimate there's 100,000 people in the United States die from fentanyl overdoses per year. And that's probably underrepresented, okay? In the Korean War, there were 26,000 Americans killed. Vietnam, there were 56,000. So that's more per year that were killed in both those wars. And what are we doing about it?
Nothing. Are we afraid of the cartels? Is that part
of
it?
I'm not afraid of them. I don't know. I can't speak
Is our government unwilling to take on the cartels?
Well,
sometimes I wonder if it's follow the money, just another example of follow with the money.
Exactly. How many of the cartels have contributed to certain political action groups? Now, remember, a PAC doesn't get associated with a single candidate. A PAC will follow a question or a purpose and try to stay away from the candidate so they can't be accused. Folks, we're going to take another quick break and again to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you again.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan?
Thank you, Bob. I have a topic that I hope will be of interest to our listeners. As conservatives, I think we have not only a right, but an obligation to let our elected officials know what's important to us and what we want them to do. Now, how they go about it is sometimes a lot of detail that we don't need to have to address, actually. But I think we have an obligation to let people know what we want. In this regard, there are four resolutions that have been drafted up by conservatives here in Craven County that address four major issues going on in the Craven County public school system. And I think I'm just going to highlight these, and I hope that our readers, our listeners, will support these. There is going to be a meeting of the Board of Education, the local Board of Education, on November 16th, and they believe they start at 6 p.m., and it's in the school administration building. And if you support these items, if you want to show up at that meeting, they're going to be presented, and the more support we have, the more impact it might have on the school board members, which are, again, elected officials. And basically, these four issues get at the notion that the schools are becoming centers for indoctrination rather than centers for education. Instead of focusing on academic subjects, they're getting into a lot of areas that they have no business getting into. The parents don't know what's going on frequently until it's too late. The first issue, or the first resolution, has to do with what has previously been called critical race theory. And that, of course, is the notion that people should be assessed and judged by their race, the color of their skin, rather than the content of their character, which, of course, is what Martin Luther King advocated, that people be judged by their character, not the color of their skin. So it's going in the wrong direction. It has other names. It's not just critical race theory anymore. Social equity learning, certain other topics they use to slip this stuff in. So the first resolution would actually require that the school administration cease any instruction in this area. That's the first one. The second topic has to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is another racist / Marxist philosophy that basically says that each group should have representation, regardless of their ability to do the job or to function in that capacity. And it's basically Marxist to the extent that it doesn't reward people for their effort, and it doesn't allow different outcomes as long as you have equal opportunity. It does the opposite. Regardless of your opportunity, we have to have equal outcome. And that is strictly a Marxist, communist idea. So that is one of the second resolution. So that would be prohibited any instruction in that regard.
So Alan, in that one, essentially, you're not allowed, we're not going to give you the opportunity to fail unless we say you're a failure. So we as an organization say you're a failure because of some attribute or, you know.
Yeah, and we're going to select people for certain awards and so based on their grouping. In other words, you have 20% of a certain racial ethnic group is in the population. You have to include them on your employment groups, the number of people you employ, and so on and so forth.
Wow.
And of course, the problem with one of the biggest problems for children, it breeds hostility and resentment between the races. Instead of promoting racial harmony, it does the opposite.
I think we can also add to that the issue we've got at New Bern High School with the ex-principal and changing grades of mostly athletes, the focus on the athletic program and football over the academics. It could be the reverse of the academic achievement part, the special grace given to an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
That's not doing them any favors. They are setting them up to fail if they can't pass the simple academics. If they get to college on a scholarship, they're going to flunk out of college. We have to have academics the focus of our school system.
We also saw something very similar in the recent lawsuits against the University of North Carolina and Harvard, where they were discriminating against Asian students, and there was another group they were discriminating against. I forget what it was, but the high achievement students were being blocked out to make room for kids that probably wouldn't get past their first semester. That's not very smart.
You're exactly right, Mary. And the other thing it does, too, I think, let's say, for example, you are an ethnic minority. You work hard, you achieve, you advance yourself, you get into a certain position. Somebody looks at you, and they know that this kind of diversity, equity, inclusion is going on, they're going to question whether you actually have the skills that you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, it undermines the individuals that, as you said, Kim, really are doing their best and trying to do their best. So it's really harmful. So that's the second resolution that would require, that instruction would be required to be stopped in the schools. The third one has to do with transgender identity. Many parents are not even aware of the fact that there are certain schools, teachers, instructors that are calling their male children by a female pronoun and vice versa. Parents aren't even aware of these things. And there is this instruction going on in the schools telling the kids that you can be any gender you want. It has nothing to do with your biological birth. Gender or sex, and these things are very destructive. The suicide rate amongst people who go down this transgender road is like 20 times higher than for the normal people. And there's a very small minority of people, but they're very vocal that are pushing this. And unfortunately, in the schools, we have teachers and administrators that have gone through this kind of training and are required to teach this stuff, and it's got to be stopped. So that's the third one. Anybody have any comments on the transgender aspect of it?
Well, I think, go ahead.
Part of the manifesto of the transgender who shot up the school covenant, turns out she was a racist. She wanted to kill the crackers.
Yes.
Which destroyed the transgender aspect. Oh, poor her. Somebody in an article I read wondered if the chemicals they were pumping her full of was responsible for any of this. So it's harmful.
Well, these hormone blockers that in some states, fortunately, I don't believe that's possible in North Carolina, given without parents even knowing about it. And the long-term impact of those is unknown. And but it is so detrimental to the children. And a lot of the kids who go down this road are having problems and are disturbed before they get drawn into this. So the people that get drawn into, the children that get drawn into this, are the ones that are most likely to be affected by it. And so that would be hopefully stopped if this conservative principle can get, this resolution can get passed. The fourth one is climate change. We are scaring the living daylights out of our children in the schools with all this talk about catastrophic climate warming and where the Earth's going to, in 12 years, we won't recognize what the Earth is. And what we've done is we've turned something that should be a scientific issue. In other words, it should be based on facts. There are certain factors, some natural, some possibly man-made, that may be affecting the climate. But what's happening now, instead of having a scientific debate about these possible causes and if anything could be done or even should be done, what we've turned into, this has turned into an ideology. You're either for it or you're against it. And if you're not, if you don't believe in climate change, you're a, quote, climate denier, and then you're dismissed. So what this resolution would do, it would prohibit the teaching of this climate change emergency stuff by teachers, but it would allow climate change as a scientific topic to be taught in science classes.
Which is the way it used, both, yeah, it used to be.
Teach both sides of the, and they must be required to present both sides. For example, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, there was reported a group of over 1,600 scientists, this was like a multinational group, who came out and debunked the whole idea that CO2 was creating, was warming the climate. And in fact, they said that CO2 was a beneficial
yes.
gas for growing plants and so on and so forth. So it's obviously there's a lot of issues involved and facts that need to be determined. We need to get it out of ideology and back into a rational scientific debate.
And you had
so that's the fourth right.
And I'm going back to my I'm going back to the mid 1950s or whatever else when I was in high school, and we were taught about the cycles, the 100-year cycle of weather, and overlaying a 75-year cycle, and how these were either either cancel each other out or they additive or whatever else. Now we have fought global warming, we've fought global cooling, the ice age, the whatever else, and now they've genericized it down to climate change. Well, darn it, we're going to have climate change.
I just want to mention that on November 21st, John Droz is going to be speaking at the CCTA public meeting, and his topic is going to be education. So I think he will have a lot to say about what's going on in North Carolina with our education. Now, that meeting is November 21st at 7 o'clock at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. And I think it's one, if you have children in school, I think it's a meeting that you want to attend.
I think it's funny that we're talking about the science and going back to the basics, and we talk about having a 100-year flood. How do we have a 100-year flood if there wasn't climate issues?
Issues back then.
Back 100 years ago.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, we've had 300 or 400 or 500-year floods recently. Yeah.
Oh, how do we? Okay. How do they know that?
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. And again, thank you for staying with us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Again, welcome back. We appreciate your staying with us. And Pat, you have a few things you want to add?
Yeah, I brought a topic with me on the new congressional maps. They've been approved by the state legislature on Wednesday, October 25th. It says the new map is particularly efficient at securing a GOP advantage in a state that's closely divided for many statewide races. And I'm a precinct leader, and at one of my precinct meetings, somebody asked me to explain gerrymandering to them because these districts have been gerrymandered. Is that legal? Well, it is in North Carolina. And so what we have now is we have maps that will lock in 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. We used to have an even split of 7 Democrats and 7 Republicans. Now we're going to have districts that would likely lock in 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. It says there will be lawsuits. There always are when Democrats lose a scrap of power. Gerrymandering goes by they use two types of doing it, cracking and packing. Now, this was new to me. I've heard of gerrymandering, but until I looked this up, I was unaware of cracking and packing. Cracking involves splitting groups of people with similar characteristics, such as voters of the same party affiliation, across multiple districts. With their voting strength divided, these groups struggle to elect their preferred candidates in any of the districts. And packing, on the other hand, involves cramming certain groups of voters into as few districts as possible. In these few districts, the packed groups are likely to elect their preferred candidates, but the group's voting strength is weakened everywhere else. The congressional map didn't have a lot of changes, but it does in Wake County. It had changes, and it goes through several cities. So we'll see, you know, what the efficiency is of the gerrymandering. When I was trying to find out if gerrymandering was legal in North Carolina, it took me to the case that went up to the Supreme Court. Remember the two cases on the voter ID and on the maps that went before our state Supreme Court, and we got one result when the Democrats were in charge, and then we flipped the court, we got a second. It was a second result. Well, a case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's called Moore versus Harper. And the issue, one of the issues was, is it illegal to gerrymander in North Carolina? And the Supreme Court said no. As long as it's not barred by your state constitution, gerrymander away.
And the Democrats have done it as well. This is not a partisan issue.
It was always that way.
And in the past, we also had mandated by law a certain number of majority-minority districts. Mm-hmm. And since that has changed, along with the redistricting, it's been very political. Whoever's in power draws the maps to their favor.
And that's the definition of gerrymandering.
When we lived in Massachusetts, our district was shaped like a serpent ready to strike, because we were in a Republican stronghold, and they had to counter us by adding one of the cities in to throw the Democrat vote in to dilute the Republican vote. So this happens all over. It's interesting to me that this is happening at a time when there's a real move with outside money to try to turn North Carolina back to being a blue state. So this is not, I'm sure this is not popular among the Democrats.
Well, when I was reading Moore versus Harper, one of the findings was the elections clause in the federal constitution does not vest exclusive and independent authority in state legislatures to set the rules regarding federal elections. And there's a lot of discussion in this case about that. And I wonder what effect that's going to have, if any, on the trial that's going on in Colorado where they're trying to throw Trump off the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the state's saying, we'll decide who's on the ballot.
And technically, the state
on
does
the federal
have
ballot.
That right. But I think that might be overstepping
well,
that right.
Well, this Supreme Court case talks about... whether or not there's such a thing as judicial review by the feds over state election decisions, and concludes that there is, there still will be, that the state does not have exclusive power to set that. Well, that case in Colorado is the judge is being asked to decide, not the legislature. The Supreme Court said the legislature. Well, that means there's a law and there's a constitution that sets forth the policies.
Mm.
They're asking a judge to decide that. If it were already enshrined in their constitution or in a state law, I don't see where they would be having this contentious trial. So it's going to be interesting to see what the outcome is.
But this is what happened before the 2020 election, where the judges stepped in and made election law rather than the legislators. So we've seen this show before.
My understanding on the Colorado issue was that the judge is trying to link it to the United States Constitution based on insurrection. So, if this judge decides that it was an insurrection, that would disqualify
Donald Trump. The one candidate, yeah.
From being able to. So this could have major implications.
Even though no one else has decided it's an insurrection.
He was acquitted in his impeachment trial. Of course, Jack Smith finally charged him again. But I can't see where a Colorado judge is going to decide whether or not Trump was instrumental in the insurrection. That is an issue that should be beyond her jurisdiction. Like I said, I'm watching that case rather closely.
Don't most insurrections have guns?
One would think.
And I mean, maybe I missed something here.
Uprising.
Full disclosure, I think one of the persons involved in that is Jen Griswold. We are not directly related to that Griswold.
Yes.
Disclaimer on your part.
Yes.
You're only related to the guy with the, 400 twinkly lights? Uncle Eddie.
But a number of, this points out, Pat, a number of things going on in the country increasingly. And that is the power of the judiciary has gotten way out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
I agree.
The voter ID referendum that was passed in North Carolina. It wasn't just by the state legislature, and it wasn't a narrow margin. A margin was like 60-some-odd% of the voters.
And it amended our state constitution.
Yeah, and who stopped it?
Three judges.
Judges on the North Carolina Supreme Court.
Right.
And that this country was founded, that the power is in the people. The people meaning your representatives in the legislature.
The consent
but
of the
all
governed.
Of these things are going to court. They wind up, everything winds up in court, and it typically comes down to one judge. If it's a Supreme Court, it might be 5-4. Again, one person making decisions that affect the whole country. That was not what the founding fathers imagined. The courts were not supposed to have that power, but with everybody bringing suits on everything, it's gotten way out of hand. And we really need to put in place a process by which the legislature can overrule the courts. In other words, if the North Carolina Supreme Court makes a decision contrary to the wishes of the legislature, the legislature should be able to override them, because that's where the power is.
Isn't that nullification?
Pardon?
No. Isn't that nullification?
No.
But that's similar to their power to override the governor's veto.
Yep. Well, that's the governor, but there's nothing on the books now to allow them to override
it would be similar.
We used to understand that the Supreme Court gave opinions. They didn't give law. They gave opinions on what was passed, whether it was constitutional.
Yeah, they were supposed to interpret the law,
right.
Not write it.
Not write the law.
Well, I know I wrote a resolution 2 years ago that would have allowed this process to go forward, the legislature representing the people to override judges. And who was against it? The lawyers and judges.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Pat, you had something else?
Yeah, I have an article from Town Hall. Bidenomics can't save unreliable clean energy. This is good news for those of us that think wind farms are harmful, particularly to sea life. There were two wind farms that were supposed to be built off the coast of New Jersey, I think, right? And they were being built by a Danish company. And the Danish company has withdrawn withdrawn out of the contract. They said it's no longer profitable. Not only, I mean, especially with government subsidies, one would think that they could continue. But no, they said because of supply chain issues and other...
And that's not even going into the protest against it. No, this
and the
is
whales,
this
the
is
dead whales,
this is the reality of economics that they can't make a profit off of it.
It says in 2021, Biden announced a target of 30 gigawatts of offshore wind power by 2030. Over 50% of U.S. offshore wind power contracts have been canceled or at risk of cancellation.
Great,
which makes me so happy.
Me too.
And I also read, you know, this push for electric cars. An April 2023 Gallup poll found the majority of Americans won't ever buy one, while a July 2023 Pew Research Center survey found a greater share, 63% of Americans, will never buy nor are ever likely to buy an EV.
Folks, thank you for staying with the show, and we ask you to go out and look for your own electric car, but it ain't happening, really. This is the CCTA wake-up call. Thank you.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.